I'd like you to go ahead and turn. We're going to do a little bit of turning tonight. We're going to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'm going to go ahead and use the red one here. John chapter 6. And before we read that, I'd like to give you the title here, is The Thankfulness of Christ. Thankfulness of Christ. We got Thanksgiving coming up Thursday, and I wanted to just take a few moments tonight and look at the different examples that Christ has given us in His Word of thankfulness. Different examples that Christ has shown us where He was thankful. And we learn a lot from it. And so, if we can, go and look at John chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 1. John chapter 6 and verse 1. I'll let you go ahead and remain seated. John chapter 6, verse 1, start off right there. The Bible says, if you want to go and follow along, so after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6 it says, And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Verse 8 it says, One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Verse 12 says, And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Do you have any, Father God, and just pray tonight, Lord, that we can learn from the several different examples we're going to hear about tonight of your thankfulness as you are here on earth, Lord. And let us be able to apply this to our thankfulness, dear God, in this time where we think about Thanksgiving. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have here an example, a story of Jesus Christ. And he just finished, Bible says, performing miracles and healing some folks and curing their diseases. And we find here that Jesus Christ goes away from the crowd, but the funny thing is the crowd starts to follow him. And he's going up and he's with his disciples, and they're getting ready to eat. And Jesus Christ looks out and he sees this great multitude following him. Can you imagine a multitude of 5,000 men following you? Amazing. Just a tremendous crowd of people following Jesus Christ. And they're getting ready to probably sit down and maybe get something to eat. And Jesus Christ looks out on this crowd, and he makes a statement. He says, what are we going to feed these folks? What are they going to eat? And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says, Well, we got this kid here who's got some food. But he says, What is just this little bit among so many people? In Jesus Christ, we know the story. And I want you to pay special attention. Look at verse 11. And let's see what he did here. John chapter 6, verse 11. says, "And Jesus took loaves, and when he had given thanks..." Who do you give thanks to? Who do you give thanks to? Give thanks to his father. Or kind of gave thanks to himself. He gave thanks. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, saw it fit to give thanks when there was so little, when so much was needed. When there was this big multitude of people, they had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus Christ saw fit, folks, to give thanks when he had such small amount, when such great amount was needed. That's a great example that Jesus Christ gave to us right there. Now, I believe Jesus Christ had tremendous faith. He knew that there was going to be a miracle performed, and all these people were going to eat until they were filled, and there was going to be baskets of food left over. But nevertheless, the example, and folks, we think about Thanksgiving, it's a traditionally a time for us to maybe sit down with family and friends and maybe reminisce about the things that happened over the year and maybe have a time to show our gratitude and speak of it to our friends and family and maybe have a time of prayer and thank God for all that he's done for us. And I think about this story of Christ, how he's with these group of folks and this multitude that followed him. And Jesus Christ saw it fit to take a minute and take those 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes and maybe kneel and bow his head and pray and thank God for the food that they were going to eat. That's the first example I've noticed of thanksgiving, how Jesus showed thankfulness in his word. He gave thanks with so little and so much was needed. The second one I want you to look at is Matthew chapter 11. We're going to go somewhere here in a minute. Matthew chapter 11. I want you to look at verse 1. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 2 of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Verse 7 it says, And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Verse 9 says, But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." That's great, amen. John the what? John the Baptist, that's right. Who baptized Jesus? So, if you baptize a Catholic, you're a what? You're Catholic. If you baptize a Methodist, you're what? Methodist. Who baptized Jesus? John the Baptist. What was Jesus? You like that, huh? That's good. That's good stuff right there. All right, let's continue on. That was a little side point. How many of you never heard that before? Yeah, you like that? That's good. Jesus was a Baptist. is baptized by John the Baptist. Don't ask me to try to prove that, but... Okay, let's look here. Verse 12, it says, "Now, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and violent take it by force." Verse 13 says, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil." In verse 19 it says, "And the Son of Man come eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." And folks, just a little side note. Back then, multitudes didn't believe in Christ. Back in Jesus' time, the mainstream of society mocked the things of God. No different today than it was back then. All right? And it's Jesus' words right there. They sent John. They didn't want to hear John because he was a crazy fool. Jesus said, "I'm come, and I'm total opposite of John, and you think I'm a drunkard, you think I'm a wine bibber, you think I'm a glutton, you think I'm a man who likes to hang out with sinners." And he said, "What do you want?" He said, "You call yourself the wise." And he says in verse 19, he says, "But wisdom is justified in her children." And look at verse 20, it says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." And it says, "And you and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." But I want you to notice these next two verses, 24 and 25. It says, "But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than in the day of judgment, than for thee." At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." And folks, Jesus Christ was thankful for those on this earth who, in a seemingly lowly position, held fast and held strong to his teachings. Those in this world that we live in a seemingly lowly position, believed in Christ over the wisest of wise of that day, the highest of scholars, the most learned of that day, the most famous religious fanatics of that day. Jesus Christ says, "You know who knows more than you? You know who knows more than you? You wise man, you Pharisee, the children. And the unlearned know more than you." And folks, I'm so thankful because it gives me hope. I'm so thankful it gives me some hope. I don't have to worry about being some great high mucky muck, but I can just be a regular guy and know the things of God. I can just be a regular person and be able to understand the words of God and understand what Christianity is all about. I don't need some doctorate. I don't need some PhD. I can just be a regular person. And Jesus Christ, he thanked his Father and he said, "Dear God, thank you for allowing your message to be so simple that you don't have to be a super scholar to understand it." I'm thankful for that. Luke chapter 22, go and turn there. Luke chapter 22. I'm going to look at verse 1. Luke 22, 1. Luke 22, 1. It says, "And now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people." Verse 3, it says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." Verse 7 says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.'" Verse 9 it says, "And they said unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready.' And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." In verse 14 it says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, 'With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took the cup and gave thanks." Jesus Christ was thankful to give his life for you and me. Jesus Christ thanked the Lord that he was going to die for you and me. Jesus Christ gave thanks to give up his life for us. That was the third thankfulness. And this is the last thankfulness, the final one. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 32. John chapter 11, verse 32. John 11:32, the Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, 'Where have ye laid him?' They said unto him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, 'Behold, how he loved him.' And some of them said, 'Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?'" Verse 38 says, "Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, 'Take ye away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Since said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And verse 41, notice here, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.'" Jesus Christ, we find here, comes and he had received word many days earlier that Lazarus was sick, and he was preaching in a neighboring town, but he didn't leave that way. And by the time Jesus Christ got to where Lazarus was, we read the story that Lazarus was dead. He'd been dead for 4 days. He'd been buried in a tomb, stone rolled in front of it. And the Bible says that people around were weeping, and Jesus began to weep, and it upset him greatly. And we find that Jesus was upset so much that he tells him to roll the stone away. And, of course, we hear that famous statement that Mary said, "Behold, he stinketh, Lord. Don't roll the stone away." But they did anyways, and we find that Jesus Christ gave thanks to the Lord for hearing his prayer. Jesus Christ was thankful that God heard his prayers. His Father heard his prayers. I gave you 4 instances about how Christ demonstrated thankfulness while he was here on earth. Jesus Christ, we know, lived 33 years on this earth. And I just gave you 4 instances in which Christ demonstrated thankfulness. The first one was in John 6. He gave thanks for so little with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gave thanks that Christ was able to, the message of Christ was so simple that even the young children would know, even before the wives. He gave thanks that he was going to give his life for us. And Christ gave thanks that God heard his prayers. What can we learn from Christ's thanksgiving? And this is basically my message right here. Number one, be thankful for or with what you have. Folks, be thankful for or with what you've got. Because it can be quickly taken away. A lot of times we tend to look at what we have and it doesn't satisfy. We may be looking for bigger and better things, but folks, I say to you today, be thankful for what God has given you. Be happy, be grateful for the blessings that are bestowed upon you, because not a one of them is deserved. Not a one of them is deserved. Every one of them is a blessing of God. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for your friends. Be thankful for your church here. Be thankful for every aspect of your life. Be thankful for your health. Be thankful for what health you do have. Be thankful for it all, because it all is unmerited and undeserved. Point number 2. Be thankful this now. Be thankful for or with no recognition in the service of Christ that is in a seemingly lowly or unrecognized position. Be thankful in that. Be thankful to serve Christ in any capacity. A lot of times, folks, we tend to you just get in a routine and we get in a rhythm, but we forget that, folks, you and I, we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're being used, our lives, the very breath that was given to us is being used to serve Christ. Be thankful in whatever position you may help out in this church. If it's simply straightening the chairs and fixing the books or picking up the papers or vacuuming the carpet or mowing the lawn or raking the leaves or driving a bus or teaching a Sunday school class, be thankful in that position that God is using you. It's great. Last Sunday we had that big Thanksgiving meal, and there was a lot of work that went into that, a lot of preparation and organization and the setup and the cooking of the food and the cleanup and the breakdown. And a lot of times we look at that as thankless job. Folks, be thankful in any service you can do for Christ. It's great. It's worth it. And a lot of times, unfortunately, it's unrecognized in this world. But I'll say to you today that not one thing that you do for Christ will be forgotten when you get to heaven. Especially where it says that if you give a cup of water in Christ's name, you receive a reward for that. And how pathetic is it to give a cup of water? Can you imagine, folks? I'm not saying let that be your chief motivation, but don't despair in the little recognition that you might get. Don't despair in the lack of gratitude that might be shown to you. Be thankful for the service that you do for Christ. It's a great opportunity, folks. It's a great opportunity. Point number three. Be thankful simply to serve Christ with your life. Maybe not talking about mowing the lawn or this, that, and the other, but be thankful that you are able to live your life as a struggling Christian. You know, in some countries, they've not even heard about Christ. I think about a friend that I have. He's a missionary in China. He's over there. He's been over there a little over a year. And he's talked to people that have never, ever, ever even heard about Jesus Christ. Never even heard about him. That's almost unimaginable to me. They've never even heard about the Bible. Never even heard about Jesus Christ who came to this earth and died for our sins. Never even heard about it. And folks, be thankful that you know and you've got easy access to the Word of God, and you've got easy access to the things of God, and you've got easy access to this church, and be thankful for that, folks, because people don't have that. People don't have that. Over in Africa, my sister is a missionary over in Africa. People don't have what you and I have. They don't have the buildings and the facilities and the buses and the access to Bibles, and they don't have it. A lot of them would love to have that. And folks, be simply thankful to be in the service of God. Just to simply be able to come to church. Just to be able to simply sit and sing hymns or give to the church or listen to a sermon being preached. Folks, be thankful for that. I tell you today, folks, we realize so in a small way how great that is going to truly mean in the span of eternity, folks. The things that you and I have done in our life for God are going to be where the value is and the worth is going to be. Be thankful that you're able to serve your life for Christ. Point number four, and this is the last one. Be thankful to a God who hears your prayers no matter what. Be thankful to a God that hears your prayers, folks, no matter what. Do you ever think about this? And I thought about this. There's, what, 6.5 billion people in this world? It's an amazing number. And we think about you have Foxborough Stadium that holds, what, 30, 40,000 people? It's just an immense number of people in that stadium. You go to that stadium and you feel like you're just like, it's just so many people. Can you imagine 6.5 billion people? And folks, Jesus Christ knows each and every one of them individually. You know, I think about when you pray to God, don't you think it's just you and him? And it is, folks. He hears your prayer individually. And 6.5 billion other people's prayers individually. How about you? I never really think about that when I pray. I just picture it's me and God alone. And folks, I'm thankful that we got a God that chooses to hear my prayer just like it's me and him alone sitting in a room talking to each other. I'm thankful that I have a God that no matter what I do, no matter how bad I mess up, he's always right there to hear me. He's always right there to listen. He's always right there for me. Jesus Christ showed us just these few examples of how we can be thankful. Be thankful with what you have. Be thankful just simply serving him with no recognition. Be thankful in the ability to have easy access to the things of God. And be thankful for God who hears your prayers, folks. Folks, I think we just see a little bit of what's to come. We see, you and I, we see a little bit of what eternity is going to be like, just through the life of Christ and maybe some of the things we're able to experience down here. Folks, This is where it's at right here. This is where things are worth it right here. You just stay right in the things of God. You stay doing the things of God. That's what it's worth, folks. There'll be no worth in anything else unless it's for the cause of Christ. Amen? And folks, this is a great thing. You've got all the access to that you want. You've got all the knowledge of that you could ever want right at your fingertips. And folks, you can get as close to God and you can know as much about God and you can do as much about God as you want. And folks, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we've got a government and a society that does not restrict us yet. So thankful that we can freely come to church and walk in these doors and drive to a church service and hear the Word of God preached. I'm so thankful for that. So thankful that it can be posted outside, that we have service times, and this is a church building, and this is the time we meet and not have to worry about anybody coming in and shutting us down, folks. You realize that happens around the world right now? Going back to my friend over in China, they've got to sometimes meet under the guise of education, language classes, teaching English, language groups. Because the government is fearful that if people start to adhere to the things of Christ, that they'll lose their power. They'll lose their influence. They probably would. And they probably would stop being communist. And folks, and that's what I wanted to say to you. It's not a bombastic message, and I'm not running around like I was this morning. But I think it's important that folks, Christ was thankful. The funny thing about it is Christ created this all. God created this all. It was all because of him, yet he still chose to be thankful in his own creation. And folks, you and I, we've got everything in the world to be thankful for when we sit down and we look at. We've got everything to be thankful for. And Christ gave us a few examples to be thankful for. If we want to stand, we'll have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, I thank you again for your examples, Lord. I know I say this a lot. I thank you again for your message, Lord, that you've given us. And Lord, and how you lived your life and you showed us different aspects and the way you lived, Lord, of thankfulness, where you took time out and you showed gratitude for the blessings that were bestowed upon you. Dear Lord, help us to be able to be more like you, dear God. Help us to show gratitude. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to open, we'll have an invitation in just a minute. And I urge you, we got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday.